Well, let's look at John 15, verse 1. We'll read 1 through 11 on Jesus talking about the vine. Okay, very important scripture here. All right. It says, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, but must remain in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown away like a branch and dries up. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Now, we can look at different translations of this. Now, some translations will speak of remain, and some translations will say abide. Now, and even the NASB has different years of translation, and the original will use the word abide. Now, I want to talk about this, and I want to talk about what does it mean to abide in the vine. Okay, it's clear in this passage, Jesus says, I am the true vine. And there's significance to that. Why does he say true vine, right? Because he's speaking about something that goes hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years back in the history of Israel. This I am statement is a really profound statement that Jesus is making. And the hearers, the disciples, any Jewish person would understand what he's trying to say when he starts to say, I am the true vine. In fact, if we go back to the Old Testament, in the context of the Old Testament, we understand that Israel was the true vine, Old Testament. And if you look throughout the scriptures, whether you know, you're reading in Hosea or Isaiah or the Psalm 80, and throughout, you're seeing Israel spoken of as the vine or a vineyard. And so there's interesting what God is speaking here, because God in the Old Testament was trying to bring Israel to a fruitfulness that would bless all nations. Okay, when we read in the Old Testament that God wanted to bless Israel, but God wanted to bless nations through Israel. We read in Isaiah 27:6. We have that scripture? Isaiah 27:6. Says, the time is coming when Jacob's descendants will take root. Israel will bud and blossom and fill the whole earth with fruit. This has always been God's desire. When he planted Israel, God planted a vine to spread, but to bear forth fruit and to bring fruit to all nations. But there was a serious problem, right? Have you read the Old Testament? Have you read about Israel? We know there was a serious problem. Throughout the Old Testament, Israel fails. It fails as God's planting to produce good fruit. It produces fruit, but good fruit. Fruit for all the nations. As we see in Isaiah chapter 5, Israel actually produces bitter fruit. Pick up verse 1. As the prophet Isaiah brings this into song, he says, now I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a rich and fertile hill. He plowed the land, cleared its stones, and planted it with the best vines. In the middle, he built a watchtower and carved a wine press in the nearby rocks. Then he waited for a harvest of sweet grapes. But the grapes that grew were bitter. Now, depending on the translation, some translations say wild grapes. Wild grapes, bitter grapes. Grapes that were no good. Fruit that was no good. And further down, we have more explanation of what Israel did produce. We just go down to verse 7, 5, 7. We read, "For the vineyard of the Lord of armies is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah the plant he delighted in. He expected justice, but saw injustice. He expected righteousness, but heard cries of despair." So God planted Israel to be a vine to produce good fruit. Yet what was expected, what was desired, did not come to fruition. Israel failed to produce fruit, good fruit, that would bless nations. So when Jesus says, "I am the true vine," he's speaking to all of this Old Testament context. And he's saying, Israel, I am. I am the full completion. I am that which God intended. I am the fulfillment of. This is a powerful statement in which Jesus is saying. Jesus positions himself as the true vine, fulfilling the role that Israel was meant to play. So it has profound implications of what he is speaking. And those who had heard him, understanding this context, Old Testament context, would understand that what he's saying is quite profound. Jesus is the true vine, which means he's the life-giving vine, which gives life to the branches, which the parable is clear. It's us. We are the branches who then are to produce fruit abundantly. It's also clear that there's life in the vine. There's life in the vine. Life is through the vine coming to the branches to produce fruit. And the connection of the branches to the vine is critical. Because without the connection, there is no fruit. In fact, without connection, the branches die. When we read out of John 15, it's clear. We don't produce life in and of ourselves, but we have life because of our connection with Christ. Christ gives us life, right? We know that Christ is the life giver. Now, it's interesting that John uses this word, this Greek word, meno. Okay, meno. And this Greek word is translated as remain in or to abide. You may be familiar with that translation. To abide in, okay? But meno could be translated as abide or to remain in. It also understands is to stay, right? To remain, to stay. Or to continue in, right? To continue. Or also to live or to dwell. So we get this context of meno. It's used 10 times in this John 15, these 11 verses, it's used 10 times. You wonder if there's some importance to that. There's a great significance to that. That we're to remain, to continue in, to dwell in, to live in Christ. So this is not some distant connection we're to have. This is not some, you know, send a letter once a year to Jesus, right? It's talking about a close connection. The branch connected to the vine. So we're to remain in Christ. We're to have our lives lived in Him. And this type of abiding brings life and fruitfulness in us. Do you know being connected with Jesus? It's automatic that we will bear fruit. Because the Bible says, right? The Bible says in verse 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If, right? There's a clause there, right? What is it? It's a subjunctive clause. Is that right? Subjunctive? Yeah. English teachers, subjunctive clause here, right? If you have an if statement, there's something that's contingent, right? It's contingent. If you remain in me and I in you, you will, right? You will bear much fruit. So it's automatic, but it's contingent. We remain, we abide in him. So becoming fruitful is the outcome of living life in Christ, living our lives in him, dwelling with him, knowing him, our connection to him. And to stray away is to try to find another source. And said, hey, well, you know what? Life in Jesus, that's good. But I'm going to try to find life in something else. I'm going to try to find life in my career. I'm going to try to find life in another person. I'm going to try to find life in material things, right? And the problem is we'll suck those things dry until there's nothing left. And then we wonder, why isn't it fulfilling? It was fulfilling last year. It did something for me last year. Or we'll look at a person and say, hey, you're not doing for me what you did for me last year. You need to pick it up. And we wonder why relationships are not working out so well. Because the person is not the source that they used to be. But we're sucking them dry. What if we're more about giving life as opposed to getting life? Because sometimes we'll look out in this world and say, okay, where can I get life? Where can I grab life? And Jesus wants us to be fruit bearers so that he's producing something in us and through us that actually produces this delicious, wonderful, sweet fruit that's palatable for others to eat. And it speaks of the Christ who is in us. So I wonder if we can think more about this bearing fruit and this giving to those around us. So we are to bear fruit, and it's automatic in our connection with Christ. And we want to produce fruit that's in keeping with Christ, not fruit that's in keeping with the world, because the Bible tells us there is worldly fruit. There is fruit that actually leads to destruction. Because we can bear bad fruit, right? The Bible says that. But it says, no, we leave those things. And we're going to talk more about that. We leave those things. And then we take on to a new life in Christ Jesus to bear good fruit. Now, the fruit that we're to bear forth is both external and internal. It's both and. It's external because we are to produce outward works. Okay, the Bible says this, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. It says this, for it is by grace you have been saved. Hallelujah, right? And by the way, connection with the vine is for those who are saved, not for those who are not saved. And in that, in what he's saying about the vine too, talking about dead branches, he is also speaking, and we have to think of the context, he is speaking to dead religious works of people like Pharisees and people who are religious leaders standing up and saying, hey, we know God, but in reality they don't. They don't know God, and they're leading people astray, and really they've become dead religious work. They do dead religious works, and they are like dead branches. And the Bible says very clearly that they will be picked up and thrown into the fire because they're useless. They're useless. And we're going to talk about dead religious works are useless, and they do not produce fruit for God. But let's talk about external fruit. Scripture says, it is for by grace you have been saved, through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You're prepared. God has created you to do good works. But the Bible makes it clear that good works is not about salvation. Okay? I'm not earning God's merit. I'm not meriting anything for salvation. God saves us because it's a gift. We know it's by grace. Just have to make theologically we're on the same plane. Everybody knows, right? It is by grace we are saved. We don't earn it so that we could boast somehow, look what I've done. I'm God. I'm your favorite child because I've done all this and I've done all that. But we don't. But yet we are created in Christ to do good works. So our good works don't connect us to the vine. It's by faith we come in God's free gift. We are connected to the vine. Remember, it says Gentiles are grafted in. We've been grafted in like a wild olive shoot. Yeah, we're nothing but wild olive shoots. Grafted into the vine. But then God can take a wild olive shoot and produce good fruit because it's connected to Him. It's connected to Him. Hallelujah. That's good news. And so we're created to produce good works. In advance, God has in store, right? There are things that God is calling us to do. And it's the natural outcome of being connected in Him. Now, the good thing is that in Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. And we're to be growing in this new nature. This new nature, that the love of God would dwell in us in increasing measures, right? We pray, Lord God, sometimes we need to pray this way, Lord God, may your love grow in me. Because sometimes we have to look and say, Lord, my measure is small. Lord God, increase my measure. Give me greater capacity to love like you love, to do like you do, to serve like you serve. Lord, it's hard. It's hard for me because I'm selfish, right? It's hard for me because I think about myself a lot. It's hard for me. So Lord, how am I becoming more like you, right? How are we becoming more like Him? So we're to grow in this love of God that is giving, that is serving, that is doing for others, not because I have to, but sometimes I get to be a partaker in the works of God. Do you ever think, wow, I get to be a partaker in God's works? Or would I just rather stay home and watch TV? We can do that, right? But if we would stop and say, wait a minute, there's got to be something better than this. God, didn't you design me for something good? Yes, He did. And sometimes we have to discover that by this thing called surrender. Lord, is there anything you want me to do differently in my life than what I'm presently doing? Is there any habits you want me to change? Is there anything that I am partaking in that I don't need to be partaking in? There are things I'm not partaking in that I do need to partake in. What needs to change where I'm coming into greater alignment with your purpose for my life? Do you ever pray that way? Lord, how do I come into greater alignment with you? How do I really come into better connection with you where things are flowing in my life more the way you intended them to flow? But you are created for good works, right? Your name doesn't have to be Billy Graham to accomplish that, right? There's only one, a Billy Graham. But yet, God has called each of us to do good works. I mean, you could reach somebody that nobody else in this room can reach because you have a relationship with them. Are there any things you want me to do? You know? And so those things just start happening and they're dynamic, but we just say, yes, Lord, I'm going to pay attention to those things that you're doing. So works are external, but they're also internal. There's what is God doing in us. That's actually crucial. Because the external really follows the internal. It's hard to produce fruit externally without the work of God on the inside of us. So God has to do work on the inside of us. Galatians 5, verse 22 shows it's clear. God is working something in us. It says, we said the Holy Spirit produces. We got Galatians 5, 22. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. We know this, right? Come on. Out of Sunday school, you could probably just memorize this. What kind of fruit does God produce in our lives? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. We got to let go of some things. We got to put things behind us and stop letting Satan remind us that that's who we are. No, that's not who we are. That's the old self being crucified on the cross. And since we are living by the Spirit, no longer by the flesh, now we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So we're to live by the Spirit, not by the flesh. See, this is the life connected in the vine. This is the branches connected to the vine. It's like, Lord, we are choosing to live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. We're choosing to put old ways to death, crucifying them on the cross. I'm no longer to live in old ways, old sinful ways, fleshly ways, where my flesh dictated my life. But now I can be led by the Spirit of God. We all can be led by the Spirit of God. But there is some cooperation on our part. We are each of us to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. It's singular, by the way. So I do imagine clusters of grapes, like a cluster with lots of grapes, but they're all connected together. So peace is connected with patience, and love is connected with joy. I mean, all these fruits are not just like, well, let me just grow in self-control. But it's like, it's all connected together. And it all leads one to another. So it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits, but the fruit of the Spirit. And it's produced in us by the Holy Spirit. Well, how do we have the Holy Spirit? Except through Christ. Christ gives the Spirit. That's what they were doing on Pentecost. They were waiting, say, Lord, to receive the Spirit of God, meaning I can't live the Christ life out of my flesh. If I try to live the Christ life out of my flesh, I'm going to fail miserably. How many times have you failed in your Christian walk trying to produce it by the flesh? It's pretty miserable. And you know what? A lot of Christians will give up thinking that the Christian life is impossible. Well, it is impossible if you try to do it by the flesh. You have to do it by the Spirit. So we have to learn this whole thing of being walking in the Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit produce in us this work of Christ. It becomes so over and over again about our connection with Jesus. And this fruit in us will show forth the growth that's taking place of Christ in us. And it will bless others around us because it will become palatable. You know, your patience and your kindness will be palatable to others. Your love, right, will be palatable to others. So the last time, you know, maybe, you know, you started your first years of marriage and you got all grumpy with each other and you snapped at each other and you just got fleshly and you just let them have it or you let her have it. But then when Christ starts working in you and there's a patience that's developing and growing, you still don't like what he said. You still don't like what she said. But then you have more patience and you have more kindness, right? I remember years back when I was in a job. I was in sales years ago. And my boss brought me a client. He said, here, you deal with this guy. He was not a Christian, and he was impatient, to say the least. He gave me this person because he said I had the patience of Job. He didn't want to work with his client, so he said, I'm picking you. You take care of him. And I did, and I took care of the situation. And the person was difficult, but, you know, It was doable. And it was kind of funny because I saw this and I said, hey, you know, in reality, he sees something in me that he doesn't have. Maybe he didn't want to have, but he doesn't have the patience to work with maybe a more difficult person. And I was like, oh, praise God. It was palatable. I need somebody in the world needs to be able to see something in me that represents Christ in some way. Because if you don't see any fruit in you, you kind of have to wonder, well, where's Jesus, right? Where is he? We need to have fruit that's palatable in this world. It's like being salt and light in this world, that we're representing Christ. So we're growing in this fruitfulness that the world can see and says, hey, wait a minute. You don't react the same way that most of my buddies react. You don't curse. You don't throw a fit. You don't do that. You know, we need to have things that says, wait a minute, you know? We could be distinctly different than the world. So God wants to fill us with himself. He wants to grow this fruit in us. Living by the Holy Spirit allows for great possibilities. It really does. Because it's not what we can do. It's what he can do in us. You ever say, well, God, what if I really just, I mean, what can you do in me? If I really give you my gifts and my talents. So the Lord gives us gifts and talents. Wonderful. But what if the Lord could use them for his glory and his honor and what he wants to do? We just give it to him. It's God's will for our lives. You know, that's what it says. It says God, it says the Father is like the vine dresser. He's the gardener. And he is looking at his vineyard. And he's seeing fruitfulness. And he's seeing not fruitfulness. And he's going in and he's tending the garden, right? And he's pruning. Now, I don't know a lot about pruning, except that you're cutting away the dead. And you're cutting back the good. Like you're actually cutting back in a skillful way vines that are actually producing fruit or have produced fruit. And yet you're skillfully cutting back, right, with the wisdom of a true gardener, so that in the next year, in the next crop, it actually will produce more. But we know those shears are sharp. We know that pruning can cause pain. How many of us like pain? Right? Saying, yes, Lord, prune me, Lord, hallelujah. No, we don't want the pruning. But it's all meant for greater fruitfulness. It's important because vines can overgrow and they can, there's a lifespan to a vine, you know, and they say 20 to 30 years of good production is normal. Even though vines can last 100 years, vines can last that long, 100 years. But 20 to 30 of really high productivity. But then still, you don't get that productivity without a gardener tending. It must be tended to, otherwise a vine can grow wild. So the Father prunes the vine, cutting away dead branches, pruning back even the fruitful ones. And you know, sometimes I think that can affect our pride. I think it can. Say, Lord, I'm fruitful. I'm doing good. So why are you giving me this trial? Why are you giving me this difficulty? Lord, I deserve better than this. See, sometimes we can have arguments with God, whether they're verbal or whether we just feel on the inside that the Lord is being unfair to us. Because Lord, I've produced fruit. Look at what happened. Look what I did. And then we get into a struggle or get into a problem or get into something that actually wants to shape greater character in us. Well, Lord, I'm a pretty patient person. I'm a pretty loving person, so we think, until now the Lord gives us someone that's really not easy to love and really hard and really a difficult situation, and say, oh Lord, now I've got to pray. Now I've got to seek you. Now I've got to cry out to you, Lord, I can't stand this person. This person's like a thorn in my flesh. or this situation is like a thorn in my flesh. And we have to cry out to God. And we say, Lord, I'm tired of this crying out. I'm tired of this bowing my knee. I'm tired of humbling myself. At that point, you need to say, wait a minute. Isn't that what you're supposed to be doing? Isn't that the process of growth? Where you come to an end of yourself? Where you decide that you're not enough. I need Jesus. If I'm going to be handling the harder and the more difficult and the thing that's the greater challenge in my life, and then what we want to say is, God, I'm tired of growing. I don't want to grow anymore. Just leave me alone. And that's our response to God. But that's how we work in the flesh. God, leave me alone. I don't want to grow. And the Lord says, no, here's some pruning that needs to happen in your life. And so we do come into conflict with God because we don't understand why we need to grow or anything else. Like, we've produced enough fruit. But the Lord has more. How many people here like to fast and pray? Come on, you know you love it. We don't like it. Why? Because our flesh doesn't want to do it, right? Our flesh doesn't. Our flesh doesn't go, you know what? I think I'm going to fast today. That'll feel good. But that's not what we want to do. Our flesh doesn't. And so we have to come into this whole aspect with the Lord, truly committing itself to God to say, Lord, I'm going to fast and pray. And it's going to challenge my comfort. It's going to challenge my ease. It's going to challenge what I want. And it requires sacrifice. And so, Lord, I don't want to. But Lord God, if it's your will, I will. And it is, guess what? It is God's will. The Bible says fast and pray. It says when you fast and pray. It didn't say when you want to, or if. It says when you fast and pray. Right? Don't be like the Pharisees or the tax collectors. Not the tax collector, but the Pharisees who are putting down the tax collectors. But you see, when done with true devotion, fasting and praying can actually help us grow. It can sharpen our senses to God because we're spending more time in prayer. We're coming before the Lord. We're saying, flesh, you're not going to rule me. I'm going to walk by the Spirit. And by the Spirit, I'm going to say no to the flesh. It sharpens our hearing of God's voice. It's our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. It can actually bring us into greater connection, closer connection with God. But we don't want to give up our fleshly comforts. What if we gave up certain entertainments? And certain entertainments that are actually, if we're honest, there's certain entertainments that we have that are not leading us closer to God. But they actually just, they're kind of like a Tylenol or a Benadryl or whatever it is. They just numb us. They just numb us down in life. I mean, if we're honest, you know, we're binging on something. And I can say this, I know this for sports for me. I mean, I need to be careful. I mean, I like it, sports. I do. But if I binge on it, it's like sometimes I wait a minute. Hold on. Do I need Jesus in the place? Like, is this becoming a source that's becoming too much for me that I'd say, wait a minute, I don't want to replace. I mean, this probably is telling me that I need more Jesus. I need more Christ. I need more of being filled with Him. So sometimes we have to watch what we're doing and where we're going and what we're partaking of. So I would say yes. Fasting and praying is good. It actually can help us grow closer to God. Regardless, this whole connection with the vine, it is God producing. We don't produce fruit. God produces in us fruit. But what it does take our cooperation. Our cooperation is crucial, right? That He's the source. He's the one and only source. He is our source. We're not trying to look elsewhere. We're not trying to go elsewhere. And we actually come to appreciate what God does. The pruning, the shaking up, it's important. We can come to appreciate because of what all you have to do is, as you've cooperated with God and you see growth in your life and you look where you've been and you look where you are now and you know that you're in a distinctly different place, we could thank God for the process that sometimes, and I know sometimes we don't want to go through that hard process that we've been through, but the Lord did a work and he's doing a work, and he's still taking us to new places. But we come to appreciate what he's doing. And then sometimes we have to ask, God, what is it that you are doing in my life? God, help me to cooperate with you, to know what you're doing. And so I can, if I need to leave behind things, I can leave behind. I can take on the new things. But it's always a cooperation with God, meaning it's our growth is more of a yielding to him. It's not a fleshly striving. You know, like somehow I'm going to produce fruit. I'm going to will it. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to just produce it out of my flesh. See, that's what I'm talking about with religious works. Because sometimes the church, we can just get satisfied with religious works and just say, well, I'm doing it. I'm doing for God. He's got to be pleased because I'm showing up on church every Sunday. You know, or I read my Bible, or I pray my list, or whatever it is. And we can sometimes turn our faith into just religion, and then it says, wait a minute, but are you really connecting with the vine? See, that comes more out of yield. It's not striving to produce something, because it's God who produces in us. So it means it's all about our connection, it's about our yielding to him. So how are your times with the Lord? How is your connection with Christ? That's where we need to look. How is your first love relationship? Is he your first love? Is he still your first love? Or has it grown cold? Those are the things we need to look at. We look at our connection. So the more we learn to yield, to submit ourselves to him, to spend time with him, right? Not just going through the motions. I was going to use the Apostles' Creed, but I don't know how many grew up doing the Apostles' Creed every Sunday, right? Come on, you could do it. You could do it probably right now. And you could probably close your eyes and go to sleep and still do it. I mean, I think it's great, Nicene Creed, Apostles' Creed, because you are confessing your beliefs. So I'm not talking it down, I'm saying, oh, that's a terrible, not terrible. But what becomes is rote Christian faith. Meaning, if you can just say it without thinking about it, without even considering it, and just do it, you know, just like every night. If your prayer at night time is, Lord, now I lay me down to sleep. You know, you've probably gotten to a rut in your Christian walk, right? And you're just doing things because you always did them, but they don't really have a whole lot of meaning. You just kind of, okay. And so we have to think about our connection. Do you have a relationship with God? I love confessing what I believe. That's good. But I need that personal intimacy with him. And so I have to look and say, Lord, am I just doing what I've always done for the last 20, 30, 40? Am I just in a rut? Or do I need to consider my connection with you? You know, our part is abide. Remain, continue in, dwell, live in Christ Jesus. May he be your source. May he be that where the life-giving flow of Christ is flowing in you. If there's a dam in your life that's keeping the flow from happening, Lord God, break the dam. Lord, we got to get that out of the way. Is there obstruction? Is there something in the way? And that's what I talked about earlier, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness. Are you dwelling on the past a lot and thinking about life is unfair? What are you meditating on? Are you meditating in God's word, his truth? Are you letting the word be life to you? It's important. What are we sourcing on? Hallelujah. And the good thing is, the closer we grow to God, the more we want to please him. The more we want to live for him. It just increases. It increases, and bearing fruit becomes more natural. So consider that this morning. Our cooperation with God is significant. Our obedience, our willingness, to go to him? How is fruit growing in your life? So I want to just leave it there and say, God, may we be fruitful. May we be abundant. May this year be incredible growth. May it hurt sometimes, but Lord, just remind us that the hurt, the pain that we're having to face is actually just pruning, and you're doing a work in us. But Lord God, do a work in us.